John Carter, Savior of Mars.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Daniel Butcher.
I'm Kobe Radcliffe.
And we are back. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I just watched for the very first time the movie called John Carter. Kobe, you also saw it for the first time.
I did.
Daniel, you saw it for the what time?
Yeah, third.
You saw it once in the theaters, once at home, and once at my home.
Exactly. I couldn't wait any longer.
I feel like you saw it three times too many.
That's really your initial reaction to it? Let's just, before we actually dive in and analyze this movie a bit, let's give our ratings. Kobe.
Out of what, though?
What? 1 to 5.
1 to 5?
I'm going to physically hurt him. I'm going to walk over and punch him in
1.75.
Oh, oh come on. Be serious.
Oh my God.
I think it sucked.
I'll give it a 4.
I'm going to be honest.
Daniel?
It was terrible.
I'm a huge fan. I'm going to give it a 4.75 out of 5.
Oh. I mean, it was a good movie. Definitely entertaining. What did you not like about it?
It was... Oh, my gosh. It was terrible.
Like, what?
See, you keep saying it's
just
terrible.
Terrible.
But be more specific.
You don't ever say...
I wasn't entertained at all.
You weren't entertained at all. Yet you're laughing throughout it.
I was laughing at it, not with it.
You liked it.
I did not like it.
You were acting like you liked it.
There's funny moments. That doesn't mean I like a movie. There's funny moments in almost every movie.
Who's your favorite character?
The dog.
Yeah, me too. No, he was pretty cool.
I like that movie.
John Carter, though, and the dog.
Best character was
the dog. And the princess
was
pretty good.
Yes.
Just because you liked her.
Well, and because Kobe here is trying to cover up for the fact that I think he went into some sort of moral failure when watching.
Oh my gosh.
And the composer is
that's
my...
That's completely weird.
Michael Giacchino, my favorite composer of all, did the music for it. And I could kind of tell there was one scene in the battle against that one tribe of...
Tharks.
They played a song that sounded just like Lost when people are going to die or be
actually, excuse me. Those were the Warhounds.
Sorry.
Okay. Oh.
So, Daniel, you've been a big advocate of John Carter.
I love this movie.
We've talked a little bit about on the show. It did horribly in the movie theaters.
Yep.
It did.
But the DVD sales have been good.
The DVD sales were great. It was the number one when it was released.
And
what else was released at the same time, though? You got to figure that out.
Oh, yeah, because I'm going to take the time to Google that.
Well, I'm just saying.
It was a movie that left me wanting more. Are you saying, Kobe, you weren't left wanting more?
Absolutely not. I was really glad it was over. It was way too long.
Well, and I want more because I know what's coming next.
Because you've read the books.
I've read, I think the first 7 of them I've read.
How many are there total?
I think there's 11 or 12.
Holy.
Oh, my gosh. They better not make 11 movies.
But the first 3 books are all tied together.
Okay.
And this has got pieces in it that aren't in the original Princess of Mars. That show up in the next 2 books, and the reason that they're clearly is, you know, so you could set up a trilogy. Because, for example, Therns don't ever appear in the original Princess of Mars book.
The Therns are the green people.
The Therns are the
people that
priests.
Oh, the
basically
the gods.
Can yes. transform.
This is what I'm,
and don't exist.
This is what I think about them. So they're gods, but really they just in the same way that Thor has science. Well, what looks like magic is actually just advanced science. That's what I think the Therns are.
So let's talk about the Therns.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, they're bad guys, but they're good bad guys. Like, ooh. Just like Q in Star Trek Next Generation was a great bad guy. They're great bad guys.
So this is the Sci-Fi Christian.
Sure.
Yes.
So we should probably talk about some of the spiritual aspects of John Carter.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That'd probably be good.
For example, John Carter is JC.
Would you slow down?
Just like Jesus Christ.
And his initials are JC.
We should probably just throw out there, this is going to be it's full of spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen John Carter yet, you're a fool just like Kobe.
Whatever.
It's your own fault if you hear a spoiler here.
And
spoilers.
You should listen to the spoilers before you watch the movie because the movie sucked.
So number one, we got the Therns. What do you think of the depiction of religion within John Carter?
It looks like religion is a fake thing to oppress people.
I'd say that's pretty fair. How do you feel about that as a person of faith?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm against it. not pro.
You're not pro.
No.
Kobe,
just like for example, Kobe is pro-choice.
No. What? Don't make those accusations.
And when he says pro-choice, he means he's choosing not to like John Carter.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. In that sense.
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay. You're a terrible person.
So do you think that theme is overdone? Because I'll be honest, to me that's not a Disney theme. I'm not used to seeing a theme of a depiction of religion in a Disney movie, period.
Do I think it was overdone in this movie or just in general? No, I thought it was great. I liked it. I want to know more about the Thurn.
Me too.
I was so mad and sad for John Carter, 10 years away from his love. That's the worst.
That's a bummer.
So you want to know more about the Thurn, so you want me to go ahead and just completely spoil you?
No, I don't want to be spoiled.
I do. Matt, you can leave.
All right, walk away, Matt.
Well, I mean...
Please leave.
What if they make a second movie?
The Thurn.
Okay, how about this? Give me a percentage on the chance that they'll make a sequel.
3%.
All right, fine. All right, folks.
Movies that bomb, don't make it.
If you're thinking about reading these books, don't listen to what Daniel's about to say. Go ahead, Daniel.
So what you find out in his Return to Mars, which is in The Gods of Mars.
Which is the second book?
Which is the second book.
So first book, Princess of Mars. Second book?
Gods of Mars.
Third book?
Warlord of Mars.
Fourth book?
Thuvia, Maid of Mars, which has nothing to do with the first three.
Fifth book? So none are called John Carter of Mars?
There is, but it's one I haven't read yet.
Okay.
What number would that be?
It's like 10.
Why is it so far down the line?
To be honest, after Warlord of Mars, what happens is John Carter becomes a secondary character.
Really?
So his children, for example, become the main character. Then there's
his
some
children with
people.
Deja?
Yeah.
Vu.
Spoilers. But his kids will become a main character of some of the books.
Are they going to have superpowers too?
Yes, Cthulhu does. So just like his old man, he can jump, he can run.
I can do all those, just not as well.
Okay.
I'm going to cry. But in the second book, what you find out about the Thurns is the Thurns are completely and utterly running a false religion.
Yeah, well, obviously.
In fact, what happens is in the movie, you see them go through the pilgrimage down the river Iss.
Yep.
And instead of finding paradise on the other end of the river, what happens to pilgrims is they're actually eaten.
By the Thurn?
By the Thurns.
Well, but if you can make it to the Thurns, I mean, there's all sorts of
what are they eaten by?
There's the plant men.
The plant men.
The plant men.
Okay.
There are white apes. And if you survive all of those evils, what happens is you get captured by the Thurns.
So why would people then do this?
Well, again, Edgar Rice Burroughs is real big on this thing about false religion. People follow it blindly.
That's true.
So what happens is it's actually illegal in all of the cities and all of the tribes of Barsoom to speak out against the goddess Isis.
Okay.
And the minute you do, you're killed. So in the second book, they talk about how there was somebody who once came out of the valley. And survived and began to tell this story about what happened down the river. He was labeled as a heretic and killed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that John Carter will wind up having to fight later in the book, is the fact that he's going to be labeled a heretic when he comes out of the valley.
Okay.
Mm.
Interesting.
So what are the Thurn? How do they have this special power?
As you said, we call it magic, or is it science?
Yeah, so it's just science. But
I mean, it's science.
Are they technically Martian, or are they not Martian? It sounds like they go from planet to planet.
In the book, they are called the White Martians.
Okay.
They're the white race. And John Carter is able to mix with them easier than he even can the Reds.
What do you mean? Yeah, what do you mean?
He can pretend to be one of them.
Okay.
I mean, John is paler than the Red Martians, even though they're quote-unquote humans.
Yes.
So he's able to put on Thurn costumes and get by and hide amongst them.
But in the movie, they're portrayed as going from planet to planet.
Yeah, they make it seem it's almost like a messenger of doom.
Yeah.
That's going from place to place. But to be honest, in the books, you know, the goddess Isis exists. She's a real person.
Oh, really?
In the books.
Is she a Thurn?
She's not a Thurn, but she is worshipped by them.
But is she... So she is a goddess? She's actually...
She is someone who's at least incredibly, incredibly old.
So she basically controls everything.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, here's the rundown.
But with no moral reasons.
I would say there's no moral reasons except herself.
Because in that monologue...
So she is not a god, but she has a lot of power, and so she has a Thurn working for her
The Thurns are worshipping her and doing stuff. There's actually even another race of Martians that are actually physically there protecting her at her location.
So there are her...
Gosh, how are there so many Martian races?
Well, the world's full of many different colors.
Yeah, but not
red,
not
white,
people
green.
Like that are green with four arms.
I haven't seen one.
Kobe wishes he has four.
Here's the list.
I did say that.
Princess of Mars, 1912. The Gods of Mars, 1914. The Warlord of Mars, 1918. Thuvia, Maid of Mars, 1920. The Chessmen of Mars, 1922. The Mastermind of Mars.
Now, the Mastermind of Mars, in the whole depiction of religion, when I read that, it made it clear to me that this whole false religion thing is something that Edgar Rice Burroughs really truly believed in and wanted to get out.
Because, so he is against religion.
There's a whole section in the Madman, a Mastermind of Mars, about the false of religion and how stupid people thought blindly follow religion.
So does he consider Christianity then something established by the Thurn?
Well, the thing is if you research his life, he is very much at least an agnostic.
I mean, okay. In the books, is Christianity established by the Thurn?
They never discuss Christianity.
Even though they have Jesus Christ?
But I do think that he is probably making an attack through the religion of Isis, through the other religions that he talks about against established religion, including Christianity.
Do you think he purposely named John Carter JC?
Well, I don't know.
I would bet so.
Because John Carter is a savior of a planet.
He is.
The savior of Mars.
So that's another thing. Another thing that I think we pick out spiritually is
salvation. But my question then would be, why do you let him win if he's against all the savior stuff, all the religion?
He's not going to let the Thurns win.
Why not?
Wait, the Mastermind of Mars, 1928.
Oh, yeah.
The Fighting Man of Mars, 1931. Swords of Mars, 1936. Synthetic Men of Mars, 1940. Lana of Gothel, 1948. John Carter of Mars.
Finally!
The 11th and final book, 1964.
That's a 52-year book series.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Well, you got to remember, he's writing other book series, including Tarzan, the whole time he's doing those.
Yeah, but that's amazing.
And I mean, there's what, 20-plus books in the Tarzan series?
John Carter. John Carter is of Earth. He goes to this new planet called Mars, and what happens? The different gravity seems to give him super strength as well as an intense leaping ability that parallels flying but isn't flying, similar to who we know as Superman.
Superman.
Kal-El.
Bam.
Kal-El. So he goes to a planet. He's actually affected not by gravity but by the sun. And is given superpowers. And originally, Superman couldn't fly. He could just leap, just like John Carter. So, Daniel, did the creators of Superman steal John Carter?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we've pretty much established that the Christ figure was set a long time ago. So,
yeah.
I think anybody who's stealing a salvation sort of character is just picking up on that common theme of a Christ figure.
So, yep.
Even though he's agnostic, or maybe even atheist, I really do think he's playing on that common theme that we want to sell a savior and that we need a savior.
So when Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster created Superman, were they actually ripping off Jesus?
Were they actually ripping off Jesus?
Yeah.
Can you really rip off an ideal? Something that's spoken into your soul? Can you really rip that off?
Touche.
Okay, tell us more.
So do you think that John Carter is a Christ figure?
Yes. I think they portray him as one.
For sure.
Which I find very interesting considering knowing Edgar Rice Burroughs' background.
Yeah. If he's against it, why does he portray it?
Yeah, but he's still calling out to this
because, like Daniel said, it's in our nature, it's in our DNA. We can't help but portray this truth that's inside of us, whether you're a Christian or not.
I think it's true.
Just like Joss Whedon, not a Christian, still gives all sorts of Christian themes in his storytelling.
So speaking of that, we heard a sentence spoken in there, and I want to get your reaction to it. At one point, John Carter is asked a question, and he says he's either a madman or a liar. What did you think when you heard that?
It reminded me of the liar, lunatic, or lord argument by C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity.
I mean, it's hard to...
It's almost... He almost said it word for word. Pretty close.
Yeah, except for he didn't call himself lord.
No.
So...
I mean, at the end, he kind of was.
Yeah, so he tells Deja, you have to either believe I am who I say I am from Earth, or I'm crazy, or I'm lying.
Yeah. I mean, it just smacks you across the face.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like, did they pick up C.S. Lewis when they wrote the screenplay? You know what I mean?
That would be awesome.
But,
Is Andrew Stanton, director, is he a Christian?
I believe that he is, but again, it's not like he's trying to use this film to preach anything. I mean, it's not like Disney movies come out and preach anything. To be honest, Disney movies are trying to stay away from religious messages in general. So that's, again, I just continually be shocked about how blatant some of these religious discussions are within John Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Carter also had a quote, and I can't remember what it was, but he was talking about since he has the power to do something good, he has to do it, and it reminded me of Spider-Man, actually, who says... Kobe. Take it. With great power.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, that's right.
I wasn't paying attention to you.
Didn't Stan Lee or some nameless narrator say that? Well, he established that earlier.
Okay, come on.
Okay, so.
Where'd you hear it first?
Yeah. So, what else, got Daniel? You had some other notes.
So, I want to stick on John Carter for 1 minute. At one point, Matt, you looked at me and you said, he's Han Solo.
Yeah.
Could you explain what you meant when you said that?
At the beginning of the movie, he was all... shoot first, ask question later. He was just punching everybody. He couldn't really stand for any reason. He just was trying to get his goals across. But you could see that he was going to be head towards more of a softening and realize he had a mission to fulfill and that he was going to have to help people for the greater good rather than just for himself.
Yeah, and it just struck me, you know, what is it, the first half of the movie, all he talks about is the Cave of Gold. I just want my Cave of Gold.
Yeah, and he's punching people. That's true. He's a man without a side.
Interesting.
And Han Solo just wants to get his treasure. He just wants to get paid.
He has no dog in this fight.
Yeah. But yet, at the end, he, of course, discovers he has more than a dog in this fight. But he's a pretty pivotal character in saving Mars from Zadanga.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So,
I love it.
And John Carter shot first.
Oh, he definitely shoots first. Colby will argue and point out that he was not... That the Thurn did slash first.
He did. I mean, the guy attacked him with a knife. And he didn't even know he was
Give
there.
Us some more Come insight. On. Okay, I feel like if we've already opened Pandora's box, just tell us some more from the book. Just, I'm not going to probably read these. I have enough books to try to catch up on. Spoil me.
Well,
tell me some other cool things.
So, to start
I specifically want to know more about the Thurn. Okay, go.
So, more about the Thurns. They're mortal, even though they talk about it in the movie that they're immortal, and he points out, hey, I shot one of you.
Yeah. Kill him.
But the thing about Martian lifespans that are put into the book is that a Martian will live for like 1,000 years. And so a Martian generally only dies one of two ways, which the most common way is to die in battle or be murdered. And then the other way you die is you go on the pilgrimage down the river.
Yeah, you get eaten by people.
So the Thurns, when they say they're immortal, I mean they're just people who are living a long time, but don't really have any natural predator because they've set themselves up in a situation where no one's attacking them.
It seems like in the movie-wise that they go from planet to planet and they kind of manipulate governments, they manipulate people, and then they say something even about, it seems parasitic, I can't remember what they said, but they feed off of the planet or something like that.
They feed off the destruction. Again, in the books you don't see this.
Okay.
You see the Thurns kind of setting themselves up in kind of their own area. You see them enslaving others, bringing them to them, especially the pilgrims that have come down the river. You see them actually fighting another group of Martians who will raid them at times and then even enslave them. But it's not the sort of thing where you ever see a Thurn in the court of Helium kind of directing and pulling things along.
Okay.
That just doesn't happen.
So Mark Strong plays a bad Thurn, well, like the leader of the Thurns.
But he plays every bad
guy. Okay, but so is that a character in the book, or is that just something?
Yeah, his character in the second book. It's the Jeddak of the Thurns.
Oh, so Jeddak means what? General?
Jeddak is chief.
Like the leader of a certain group.
So in fact, the Jeddak is the main chief of a tribe.
Okay.
And then there's a Jed underneath a Jeddak. So it'd be like. Many chiefs, but there's one main chief, or many kings and one high king.
Okay.
And in fact, in Princess of Mars, Deja's father is not. Now I'm shooting myself for forgetting his name.
It's okay.
Is not Tauros, or it's not her father depicted in the movie. That's her grandfather.
Okay.
In the book. And then there's another person in between the two of them, which is her father, who's a Jed.
Would you call Jesus your Jeddak?
Who wouldn't call Jesus their Jeddak?
Come on, man.
Dang, that's what we should have called this episode. Jesus is my Jeddak. No one would have got that.
No, not at all.
No.
All right, Colby. Go ahead.
But in the second book, what you see is the continuation of is John Carter emerges back in Mars.
So does the book end the same way the movie ends?
It does not end with him returning.
Okay.
He does not... In the first book, in Princess of Mars, what happens, and I kind of told Kobe a little bit about this, is the reason there's oxygen on Mars is because there's oxygen plants.
Okay.
And the Red Tribes run the oxygen plants. They're in control of them.
Oxygen plants like flowers or oxygen plants like nuclear plants?
As in nuclear, you know, plants that make the the atmosphere
they make for oxygen. Mars.
Why do they do that?
Because there is no air and then everybody dies without it.
Dude.
But then how do they ever exist?
Well, there used to be water. There used to be oceans.
Don't you remember the backstory?
The world is dying.
Okay, the world is dying.
So the red men made the atmosphere plants in order to, so that there would be oxygen. So
like plants like flowers.
Like nuclear
dude.
So they actually talk about how they'll like go to like a green alien and say something along the lines, if it wasn't for the red men, you'd all be dead. Because okay. there wouldn't be any oxygen. So what happens is at the end of Princess of Mars, John Carter is the only one who can remember the code to get into the plant, basically. And the
plant stops. The
code to the plant is Mars's most top secret thing, because if somebody obviously got a hole, entered the plant illicitly, they could kill everyone. The plant stops working because he's had interactions with the plant in the book that you don't see.
Yeah.
He actually remembers the sequence on how to get into the plant. So he leaves in order to go inside and get it restarted. And once he's inside, he gets it restarted, but he's also stuck. And he basically, he begins to die, and then he returns back to Earth. Hmm. And then the second book is 10 years later. He rematerializes.
Wait, no, this is the end of the first book you're talking
about. That would be the end of the
book. So he saved the oxygen plant, and then who sends it back to Earth?
He just goes back to Earth.
Why?
What's the point?
The third explanation of this was better.
And that may be it. It may be better to handle it that way.
But in the book, he just magically goes back. Ugh, lame.
And it's been 10 years.
He's been on
Mars for 10 years.
But how long was he actually on Mars? Like
10 years.
So he felt 10 years of time pass.
Yes. Though he never ages during that 10 years. Interesting. Then 10 years later, another 10 years in which he never really ages, he finds a way to... He basically... has a dream of Mars.
Why does he stop aging on Earth?
No explanation. And in fact, they talk about how John Carter will, at a later time, say, "I've talked to our best scientists and doctors. I have no idea why I'm not aging." Interesting. So they just kind of leave it as an open question, as far as I've gotten in the series.
Wow. So maybe you'll find out later.
Yeah.
Why didn't you finish those books?
Just kidding. Time.
Just kidding.
I'll be honest with you. It's a Disney renaissance of books right now. There's so many Disney books coming out on Disney history that I had to just take a pause for a little bit. Because I was reading, I think I texted you at one point, like on vacation, I think I read like 3 of them.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So I just needed to change it up for a little bit.
Okay, so in the movie, he is there for like 10 weeks.
We don't even know for sure. I mean, when he comes back, he's covered in dust, the body of the Calvary.
Bryan Cranston?
Yeah.
Who plays such a minor role. He's an awesome actor.
Yeah, but that body is, you know, there's no skin on it anymore, so it's clearly been some time. It would have had to have been years, wouldn't you say?
So he's been married to Deja.
So in the book, he's married to Deja for 10 years before he comes.
But what about in the movie?
We see a night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't really give you a sense of whether or not that night was their honeymoon night or if it was 10 years later.
Oh my gosh.
No idea.
I'm guessing it wasn't that much time. Like, it seemed like minimal amount of time.
Well, and Kobe made the comment, well, they've just, you know, oh yeah, they're just getting married after just meeting each other. In the book, they're together for a real long time because they're traveling around with the Tharks. She's his property for a while. So, I mean, they've had plenty of time to get to know each other in the book.
Okay. So, yeah, so they loved each other, and then he leaves her. But how crappy is that for her? So she's just going to wait around for him for 10 years?
just hanging out.
Sounds like a whole bunch of suck to me. I mean, yeah, I mean...
So
when he comes back in the Gods of Mars, it's not like he shows up back in the castle at Helium. He's actually in the valley at the end of the River Isis.
So he has to fight back to get to her?
Yes.
And then when he gets to her, is she like, oh, finally, I've been waiting for you?
No, when he gets there, he finds out she went down the valley.
So she's dead?
So he got all the way out, and then he has to go all the way back in?
So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And then in the third book... he literally has to chase her captors around.
So he doesn't get back to her until the third book? The whole second book.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, that would be
so it's longer than 10 years.
I'm not going to read that
between
book.
Between the second and third book, any of them. There's about a year and a half of Earth time.
Wow.
And he's just... And
between the second
reason,
and third book?
Between the
he
second,
goes back to Earth?
No, but there's a reason why he can't get to her.
Why?
Because they put her basically behind a safe that's time locked.
That's unfair. That's cheating.
It was cheating. It was.
But what does that mean, time locked?
They basically put her inside this cage that is set up that it could only be opened once a Martian year. Because it's turning.
So does he just have to wait there for
it? He has to wait for it. At the beginning of the third book, he actually finds a way to sneak in.
Mm-hmm.
He basically a Thern, and one of the Martian types that was guarding Issus. They tell him how to get into this temple and when she's caught.
So all this sounds pretty interesting. Can you tell it's dated? I mean, early 1900s.
Well, the thing that always struck me was when I read Princess of Mars, which is a much richer book than the movie is. I mean, I like the movie,
mm-hmm.
but I was struck by the fact that he really spends up a time building culture.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Green Martians and the Tharks, he does a lot of time explaining why do you kill the babies in the incubator? Why are these little baby aliens running around and women grabbing them? The whole story of Sola and Tars Tarkas is told in like seconds. I mean, it's literally Tars Tarkas just in the movie says, yeah, it's my daughter. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the book, Sola tells John Carter the whole story of her mother and how she came to, how her parents came to love each other, the risks that they took, why her father was not there when her mother was murdered.
Wow.
Why people did, in the book, to be honest, Tars doesn't know that Sola is his daughter.
Oh, who knows?
It's Sola that knows that Tarkas is her that Tars is her father, not the other way around.
Yeah, it seems like he has a lot of detail similar to Tolkien in his storytelling.
Yeah, it's a pretty rich.
The green guys aren't nice,
not at all.
Even though they're the good guys, I mean they're with John Carter, they're bad.
But he has to work on getting them over to his side.
Yeah,
they have some morality.
Like the only ones that seem kind of
the father-daughter
are the blue people, the helium.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is in the other books, you'll meet other cities that are quote-unquote good.
Yeah.
And that'll become allies with helium. And I think a lot of what Burroughs is showing you throughout the book series is helium has an influence on the rest of Barsoom. So places that may have been... For example, at one point, there's a city that is basically a dictatorship and it's just evil. And at the end of the book, after the main action has occurred, the Navy of Helium comes in, led by John Carter, and liberates the city. Basically.
Wait, the Navy? Like there's water?
The flying ships.
Oh, okay.
The flyers come in and they liberate the city and say, we've been hearing these stories because we've got this person who's a refugee from here and this just can't be. This is not tolerable. So John Carter comes in and he puts it down and puts a new government in place that is a kinder, gentler government.
Listen to this connection that either you or Kobe caught on to. The actress that plays Deja and the actor that plays John Carter have actually been in a movie that our listeners have most likely seen.
But I don't believe they're in a scene together.
You don't think so? Okay.
If they are, it's a transition only.
In 2009.
Nope, I don't think they are.
Back in 2009, in the movie X-Men Origins Wolverine, Deja played Silver Fox and John Carter played Gambit.
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Thoughts?
Well, I really like them in this movie. I mean, I feel bad
for He's a good actor.
I feel bad for Taylor Hirsch because he can't make a movie right now. I mean, between this and Battleship.
Yeah, they both bombed.
Well, what do you think about him as an actor?
I thought he did a fine job.
I think he's okay.
I'm not jumping.
He's got a little Keanu Reeves in him.
That's sad. Yeah. Don't disgrace him like that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to disgrace him a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I'll say this. I'd like to see him again as John Carter, but John Carter didn't lead me to go out and watch Battleship.
I saw Battleship. Not that good. I do want to see another John Carter. I just want them to have one more chance to tell another story in this world.
Movies that bomb that badly, they don't waste their time and money on because
DVD sales.
You got to think about how much you're going to make
domestically versus worldwide. How they do worldwide?
They did well worldwide, but the problem is you got to remember Disney has just gone through a change of studio chiefs.
Okay,
it was actually two studio chiefs ago that green lit John Carter. So it's not even the guy before this guy.
Okay,
the new guy is pinching pennies and watching his money.
Yeah,
they shut down Lone Ranger.
Yes.
Why did they do that?
They shut down Lone Ranger because of money.
Yeah, but
so you're thinking
that movie would have made a lot of money.
But it's back up now. It is back up now because they cut the budget.
Okay.
But I mean, Disney, between this and I don't think Tron Legacy did as well as they were anticipating,
even though
they keep trying to shove it down our throat.
Tron.
I think they're
going to make another Tron, right?
oh, there's a good chance. I mean, with let's face it, these guys right at the moment with Once Upon a Time, they could write their check in many ways.
Are you talking about Eddie
Horowitz and Kitness?
Kitness, yeah. They're not working on Tron 2.
But they wrote a treatment, and if there was another Tron movie, they'd be involved as at least.
And Cillian Murphy will likely be in it too, which would be sweet.
That would be an advantage.
They set it up that way. Hey, listen to this. I just found out as I was doing some research. So you're familiar with The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, not the movie, but the comic book series?
No, just the movie,
sadly,
actually.
Sadly, I am.
Okay.
Sadly.
They use characters that are in the public domain. And John Carter has actually appeared in there. And
really?
And Deja has been mentioned. So those two characters from this Burroughs story in other comic forms. And I think Marvel right now is producing John Carter comics. So if you want to see the story continue...
Well, I don't know if they're... Where are they doing full John Carter comics, or did they just do a movie tie-in?
Maybe a miniseries tie-in?
Because you do have to remember that Disney owns Marvel.
Well, of course.
They are all about synergy.
That's true.
Even though they failed miserably in promoting this movie.
Big time.
John Carter, listen to this, Warlord of Mars, was a comic in 1977.
Were you reading that?
Wikipedia.
Dude, it's a blank screen.
I read it quickly, and now it's... Here it is. Marvel Comics series, created in 1977 by Marv Wolfman and Gil Kane.
Oh.
See, and what I wonder... Again, I've never read that, but I wonder, is that movie about how we get through the first third... the first trilogy, because remember that last book is Warlord of Mars. Mm-hmm. Or spoilers, is it about John Carter news stories when he was Warlord of Mars?
When was he Warlord?
After the third book,
starting in October 2010. Never mind. I don't want to read this.
Don't read that.
Okay, that's not about Marvel.
Nope.
Anyways, I'm pretty positive Marvel has been releasing recent movies, but I can't find evidence.
You mean comics?
Yep, comics. Danny, you said you had some questions. Did you have any more on your list, or did we get through them all? Yes, you got another one. Come on. Just make up make up one more.
How do you feel about this? What about this theme about finding something worth fighting for?
Like what?
Well, he apparently, as we've pointed out, he doesn't want to fight for anything. He's had it. He's done. He just wants that cave of gold.
Mm-hmm. But then... So do you think he's really fighting for the girl, or is he fighting for the cause?
The girl. It starts out with the girl, for sure.
As Kobe points out, he sees two ships up in the sky, and he randomly picks one.
That's not fair. He doesn't even know anything about either people.
That was my point.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Matt said.
Okay, whatever. It doesn't matter.
He's seen two groups fight, and he's like, oh, I'll side with them for no real reason other than they look like the underdogs. No,
the girl. It's the girl. He starts out with the girl, and then he's like, oh, you like them? Okay, I'll be on your side.
Yeah,
we're together. Plus, I own you.
Yeah. Edgar Rice Burroughs wrote himself into this series. Is that very interesting in the book or not so much?
In the book, it's many ways kind of set up similar in the fact that Edgar Rice Burroughs is telling the story of his uncle. You don't have the beginning where his uncle is trying to run away from the Thurns and dies. He basically is saying, "I'm a writer, Edgar Rice Burroughs, and here's my uncle's journal."
So, is there a point where they have any of the story about him protecting John Carter?
No.
Really?
There's nothing?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they just leave it.
What do you mean, protecting John Carter?
Yeah, it's not even in there. And the thing
Remember
is,
at the end of the movie when he said he had to protect him because he's going to copy of himself?
We talk about the transference and the copy.
That's sweet. So
it's a good idea.
Let me just explain it to the audience that might not have watched the movie. So... when he finds his teleportation medallion, we think he's actually transporting to Mars, but we find out it's more telegraph style. So his body is still on Earth, but an exact copy of him with his mind, thoughts, soul, heart, goes to Mars. But then meanwhile, his body on Earth is comatose.
And they're both physical bodies.
So if his body on Earth dies, he dies on Mars.
Yes.
Yes.
But the only thing that doesn't make sense is then when he... Okay, how about this then? When he gets transported back to Earth at the end of this movie, is his body on Mars still? Does it still exist?
Well, and there was never a body there to begin with.
I know what I mean? But then there was.
I'm going to say no.
I would say no. Unless that's the reason why she waited for so long for him, because he was still there.
There's other reasons why she waited for 10 years.
She was pregnant?
There's a baby.
She had a baby?
There's an egg.
That egg was Prego.
No, they
That's
don't
one etch a sketch you can't undo.
They have eggs.
No, Deja has an egg?
She has an egg.
That's messed up.
That is kind of messed up.
It gets put in an incubator.
Dude, eggs are.
They're mammals. She's clearly a mammal.
I agree, but yeah, that's how all Martians reproduce the same way.
Lame. So he was an absentee father.
Yes.
I have issues with John Carter. When
John Carter returns 10 years later,
his son hates him.
His kid is not 10, but looks like a young adult.
What? Oh, why? Time passes differently on Mars?
Time passes differently.
Oh, Narnia.
It obviously is faster.
Just like Narnia.
Which doesn't make any sense because Mars is outside of Earth and the...
And I want to say that like a Martian year is like a year and a half of our time to begin with, but they make it clear that period that the Martians age differently.
Mm, man.
Yeah, but they'd have to age faster.
So how long? So she didn't even wait 10 years. She waited like 20 years.
Probably.
No, well.
Earth years, she waited 10 years.
About 11, 12. Uh-huh. It's like in Martian years.
Man, that stinks.
Weird.
Wait, I was just about to say something, then we started talking about that. Can't remember, but in the meantime, let me say this. Listen to this cool connection.
Oh,
Thomas Hayden Church, who played Sandman in Spider-Man 3.
Oh, gosh.
And William Dafoe, who played the Green Goblin in the Spider-Man movies, were both in this movie as voices.
Where's William Dafoe?
Well, actually, I think both of them actually weren't just voices. I think they actually acted on set with
Where was William Dafoe? I never saw him.
He stars Tarkus.
Yeah. And Mark Strong. Okay. Mark Strong, one of the villains from Green Lantern, Sinestro. He is... The main Thurn.
I've never heard of this movie, The Green Lantern.
John Favreau, the director of Iron Man.
I love you, Ryan Reynolds.
And Iron Man 2 is also made a cameo in this movie.
Well, and Favreau originally was directing.
Is that a surprise to you, though?
Well, it's just a cool connection with all these different superhero movies that we like.
They all do that.
And Favreau was originally going to direct. And I think he's made quotes after this one was directed, released, that basically said he was looking at making a smaller movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, you could have done with the books. You really could have made it all about Deja and John, and not about saving an entire world. Because again, you don't really see this thing about saving the world until the end of the book with the oxygen plant.
Hmm. Wow. Well, I think we really covered this. Any closing thoughts, Kobe?
Yeah, I'll give the movie a 2. I won't give it a 1.75. I'll give it a 2.
I'll give it a 3.
I can't give it a 3. I wasn't entertained the whole time. There's brief moments when I enjoyed it, but it wasn't like, oh, yes, you'll see this again. So nice. I don't think I will.
Daniel, closing thoughts?
Personally, I would love to see it.
A sequel.
I'd love to see the whole trilogy because I know the scope of where it was going to go. It could have gone. I do think it would have been difficult to make the trilogy as true to the books as possible in the sense that Deja's not even really in the second book.
Hey, you know what?
And I think people would be upset by that. I think they'd expect Deja.
She's a huge part of the movie.
Yeah.
Literally the only part Colby liked.
Yeah, the
dog was the best.
Woola is the best. But I don't think it's going to happen. And there is a movement out there to go back to Bersoom.
Mm-hmm.
There is a petition that's going around that people are trying to get signatures for to present to Disney. I don't think this is going to wind up doing a Firefly where you're going to see it down the road. Everybody who's attached to it still says that they're willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Stanton and Chabon have both said that they've got it kind of scripted out how the next two would go. The plan's in place, but I just don't think it's ever going to be utilized.
I think I would go see it. Just because I've seen this one now.
Great. Here are my closing thoughts. I think that the marketing for this is what did it in. Because it was originally called John Carter of Mars. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they dropped the of Mars. And it was just John Carter. Which, even to me, as somebody who's in the loop on sci-fi news.
You don't really know what that is.
I didn't exactly know what the movie was about. Until I remember you and I were talking on the show once. And you explained it. And I was like, holy cow, that sounds awesome. Where this guy gets powers from going to a different planet. One of our main men behind the scenes at the Sci-Fi Christian, Brandon Gibbs, who does some writing for us. He had once said... This movie should have been called John Carter of Earth.
I agree with it.
As the first in a three-part story. And then maybe later, John Carter of Mars. And then, you know, who knows?
Because the thing is that is a strong theme. John Carter makes it clear throughout.
I'm from Earth.
Yeah.
Actually, Virginia.
And it's not until the end. It's not until the end that he finally says, I'm John Carter of Mars.
Yeah,
and it ends with that logo, JCM.
Yes, exactly.
And that should have been the second movie.
Because that's probably what they always had in mind. So I think Brandon's right. I think that's what they should have called this movie. That way it would have given the public an idea of where they were going with John Carter.
I think it would have done better too if it had been Princess of Mars.
I think that would have been lame.
Yeah, I don't think
also,
people,
just even when it comes to marketing for like like action figures, for example. I've never seen any toys for this movie. Have you, Dan?
Not well, one. So as I was telling you, there are these things called Vinylmations.
Okay.
And they're Mickey Mouse-shaped figures
yep.
that they have artists do decorations on.
Okay.
Disney, right this very moment, at the time of our recording, and I think for another 10 days, are actually selling John Carter Vinylmations. They're on the Facebook page for Vinylmation. I've never gone to that
page. So you're saying right now?
I'm a huge fan. Yeah. And I've never gone to that page. This is the only Disney sold John Carter item I've truly seen, and it's hidden on Facebook.
Wow!
Yeah. To a place that me, a giant Disney fan, doesn't even go.
So even from the start, it seems like Disney wasn't all the way behind this movie.
And I don't think so.
Molly, no. Your daughter had made a great point that maybe Mars needs Martian. No,
Mars needs moms.
Mars needs moms. Might have messed up some of this. What? Tell me more about that.
Well, Mars Meets Moms, it's a motion capture movie starring Seth Green, and it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And it if you want to say John Carter did bad, Mars Meets Moms was...
Mars Needs Moms.
Needs.
Yeah, they needed to give everyone who saw it money as they left the theater.
So do you think they dropped the Mars because of that?
It could have been part of it.
All right. Well, I think we've really got this. So we've talked about it in full. John Carter, good movie. I'd recommend it. But it's going to leave you wanting more, so be warned. Kobe, how about you?
Yeah,
you're the one that hated it the most. Come on, give us something.
I wouldn't ever watch it again, probably. But I'd want to see... I'd want to see a sequel, just because I want to see him do better. I don't like when movies flop. It's not fun to watch them.
Good thoughts, Daniel.
Viva Bassoom!
Oh, gosh.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Kobe Radcliffe.
I'm Daniel Butcher!
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians. Signing off.